Ladies and gentlemen, Life with the Lion.
It seems that the Lion family got back to their old house in Southwick Street just in time to pack up all their worldly belongings and get ready for the big move to their new home on Abbotsbury Road. Well, right now, the furniture's in the removal van, the packing cases are in the living room, and BB's in a tizzy.
Oh, Barbara, the van drove off without the packing cases.
Mother, there wasn't room for everything. The men are coming back later for the rest of the stuff.
Yes, now, come on, let's all sit down and relax.
All right, dear.
Oh, Mr. Lion, what time will we be leaving for the new house?
In about a half an hour, Aggie.
Isn't it sad? In just 30 minutes, we'll be saying goodbye to this dear old house on Southwick Street.
Oh, cheer up, Mother. Think of all the advantages you'll have in the new one.
Yes, you're going to love it, honey. Oh, Aggie, do you think we could have a pot of tea?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lion, but the men from the gas company are in the kitchen coming off the mains.
They are? Ma, what's the matter?
All these years, this little house has had gas flowing through its veins. And now they're turning it off.
Phoebe, that's ridiculous.
I don't agree, Mr. Lion. How would you like to have your gas cut off?
I wouldn't like it.
No, that could be very painful.
Oh, the poor old house.
You know, it does look a little sad at that.
I guess empty houses always look a little lonely.
Yes, it gives you kind of a funny feeling. Even our voices sound different.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Barbara. All morning I've been hearing an echo, but I thought it was in my head.
It is, honey.
What?
I said that there is an echo in here. Oh. Listen. Hello?
Hello? Gosh, what a clear echo. Do it again, Pop.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
And how are you?
I'm fine, Benny, my boy. How are you?
Well, if it isn't our old pal. Yes, sir. My old pal, Vic Oliver.
Hello, Vic.
Vic, it's great to see you, boy.
Good to see you too, Benny, but this is terrible, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, why didn't you tell me you were so hard up that you had to sell all the furniture?
Uncle Vic, I think you've got it a little wrong. We're moving to our new house.
Oh, so your father finally took notice of the petition the neighbor signed, huh?
Oh, isn't he a scream?
I think so.
So do I.
You know, I can't get over the way these kids have grown.
Have I?
I'm talking to the other kids. You've grown a foot. Because I haven't seen you for a long time.
Same old Vic. You know, you haven't changed a bit.
Neither have you, Billy, old boy. Of course, you've put on a little weight since I saw you last here and there.
Well, you're a little paunchier yourself.
Your hair is a little thin on top.
Well, come to think of it, your forehead's a little higher, too.
Perhaps, but I still have lovely wavy hair.
Yes. Right now, both of them are standing up and waving at each other.
Honestly, I could slosh this guy, really.
You know, it's just like old times, hearing you two talk like that.
Yes, and it's just what Mother needed. She's been pretty depressed about leaving the old house.
Well, whose idea was it? Your father?
No, Pop always said he'd like to live here until he was 100.
Well, he made it.
Thanks.
Seriously, Betty, I know how you feel. You know, it's really difficult to tear yourself away from a place you've lived in for 22 years.
It certainly is. This old house, and we've been through some good and bad times together.
You're telling me I've known this house almost as long as you have.
That's right, Vic. We'd only been on Southwick Street for 2 years when you came to see us. Remember, Ben?
I'll never forget. It was 1939, and there was a barrel organ outside this house playing the latest hit.
Would you please put these flowers on the dining room table?
I will, Mrs. Lyon.
Oh, Aggie, I hope you bought something very nice for lunch.
Oh, I did, but everything's so expensive these days. I bought a nice leg of English lamb, and do you know, it cost 4 shillings.
Oh, that's terrible. But we must splurge a little today. Mr. Vic Oliver is coming to lunch.
You mean Mr. Vic Oliver, the comedian? dear?
Let's just say Mr. Vic Oliver.
Now, Ben, if you're going to start being jealous, there's no sense in the three of us doing that radio show together.
Aye, stop acting like the little green-eyed monster.
All right, Aggie, I'll watch it. Say, Bebe, speaking of little monsters, where are the kids this morning?
In the nursery. Why?
Well, they're awfully quiet. What are they doing?
Nothing, dear. I went in to see them a moment ago, and they were sleeping like little angels.
Oh, it's him! It's Mr. Oliver!
Now, Aggie, Aggie, please, you don't have to act like a teenager just because you are.
Is this the lion's den?
Oh. Hello, Mr. Oliver. Come right in.
Oh, please, not Mr. Oliver. Call me Vic Bebe.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Vic Bebe.
Will you introduce me to your father?
Father?
This is my husband.
Oh, I'm afraid I made a horrible mistake.
So did I.
Now, suppose you two cut the gag. Hello, Vic.
Hello, Ben. You know, I read the script again.
Well, what do you think of it this time?
Well, either it's better or I'm getting used to it.
Well, I'll wait to the kitchen. I imagine you've a lot of private business to discuss.
That's right, Aggie. No one even knows the title of our new show yet.
Well, I wouldn't dream of telling anybody it's High Gang.
You know, if war does break out this year, she'll make a wonderful spy.
Oh, I'm so happy we're going to do that radio show.
Me too. There's only one thing, Benny. Are you sure this High Gang idea of yours will catch on?
Well, that's what we have to find out.
But I mean, it's so revolutionary, you know, this insulting each other, making fun at movies and plays. Do you think the public will go for that sort of thing?
Well, who knows, but it's worth a try.
Look, here's the final draft of the show. Now, as I see it, Vic, I make the opening announcement, and the band strikes up a sort of a fanfare, something like this. High Gang.
High Gang!
Welcome to your own High Gang show, coming to you from the heart of London. Tonight it's my proud privilege to introduce that great comedian, that master musician, that purveyor of antediluvian witticisms, Vic Oliver.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Benny, for that wonderful introduction. I really don't deserve it.
I know, but five bob is five bob.
Look, Benny, I'm the comic and you are the straight man. Yesterday, I told you that distinctly.
Vic, you've never told me anything distinctly in your whole life.
I could smash this guy. If I weren't a lady, I'd kick his teeth out.
Now, come on, Vic, old pal. Calm down.
It's a case of jealousy. That's what it is. You're just jealousy. Oh, come. And according to my horoscope, I'm going to be even more famous than I already am.
You are, eh?
Yes, I are, eh? It so happens that I was born under the sign of Taurus the Bull. And boy, was he surprised.
Vic, to hear you talk, sometimes distinctly, I mean, anyone would think you were a genius like me.
Listen to him, Ben Lyon. What genius have you got that I haven't got?
Me.
Yes, Bebe, why did you ever marry this undesirable alien?
So you're beginning to wonder too, huh? You know, he won't even give me 2 minutes to do my Auntie Bebe's advice letter.
And he's cut out my peep keyhole.
Oh, and how about my White Cliffs of Dover?
No, not you, Mama. Sit down.
And we've had to cut out all our good stuff just because Lousy Lion has written a lousy sketch.
Well, if you don't want to do it, I'll sing a couple of songs.
We'll do it.
Yes.
Sure. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, the scene is laid in an English drawing room. Bebe will play Lady Myrtlefinger. I will play her husband, Lord Myrtlefinger. And Vic Oliver is Windermere Oliver, a bounder.
Oh, what a day. What a day. Nothing to do but sit here at the window blowing spitballs at the passing gentry. Oh, why did I marry Lord Myrtlefinger when Windermere Oliver will always be the man I love? My husband is such a frightful bore. Here he comes now. What ho, Rodney. What do you hear from the mob?
Great news, Super Major. I've just been raised to appear.
How jolly. Tea?
Thank you.
Sugar?
Thank you.
Cup?
Thank you. Sybil, look. Who's that fellow riding so recklessly up the bridle path?
Oh,
that's my old love, Windermere Oliver. Look how well he rides. What a beautiful seat he has. See how gracefully he clears the herbaceous border.
Blast, there goes me new tricycle.
Oh, Windermere, you've returned after 15 long years.
Sybil, you fascinating little minx. How good to see you. You're looking too, so.
And you're looking frightfully frightful. Ah, those mad nights we spent in the Casbah.
Rather.
You mind if I change into something more comfortable, dear?
Not at all, my sweet. I'm all for getting comfy.
What would you say to a lace negligee?
Oh, I'd love it. My old one's worn out.
I mean me, you silly boy.
Oh, may I say a word?
No. Sybil, tell me about yourself. What became of your first love, Chumley?
Ah, you've struck a sad note, Windermere. Last week, they buried Chumley.
Buried him?
Had to. Dead, you know.
It must have been hard to tell.
May I say a word?
Quiet. Blabbermouth. Sybil, next week we'll get married. That is, if you have nothing on.
By gad, sir, you've gone too far. I challenge you to a duel.
Good. Choose your weapons, swords or pistols.
I choose swords.
Good, I'll choose pistols.
No, Windermere. You're both supposed to choose the same thing.
Sir, you're nothing but a scallywag.
I resent it. My scally doesn't wag any more than yours does.
A likely tale. And now I'll settle my debt with you.
BB, we better run.
Why?
The shots are coming from the audience.
Vic, I sure would love to have seen one of those high gang shows.
So would I. I hear I was colossal.
Well, of all the conceit.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, you were good, too.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Aggie, but I'm awfully glad you did.
You know, I was in high gang, too.
Of course you were, honey, and you supported me very well.
She's been doing it ever since.
You know, Benny, you never should have brought these children back after the war.
I know, but I was pretty glad to see them just the same.
Yes, it was wonderful to be together after all those years. Aye, and everything was so happy and peaceful until Master Richard dropped his bombshell. Master Richard was 15 at the time. Of course, when Mr. Lyon came down to breakfast that morning, he had no idea what was in store for him. Oh, that was way back in 1952. Oh, Ben, breakfast is ready.
Oh, good. These fresh mornings give a man an appetite.
Well, I hope they give you one, too.
Good morning, Mother. Good morning, Father.
What's the matter with him?
Richard, you're late.
Eat your sausages, dear, while they're hot.
All right, Mother. I've been looking out the window. Everything's so bleak. Oh, where are the flowers, the fair young flowers that lately sprang and stood? In brighter lights and softer air, a beauteous sisterhood. Oh, I love the flowers.
What's the matter, son? Are you 1 degree under?
Of course not.
What's wrong, darling?
He probably wants to borrow the car.
No, I'm too young. I'm only 15.
Well, at least there's one sensible child in this family. Yes, sir, what this country needs is more children who leave their fathers alone at the breakfast table. Hey, Phoebe, this coffee is delicious.
I'm glad you like it, darling.
Well, Richard, what's new in your little world?
I'm going to get married.
Ben, hold your arms over your head. Richard, pound your father on the back.
You're going to be fine, Pop.
Well, stop hitting me or I won't be.
Well, Ma told me to pound you.
With your hand, dear, not the breadboard.
Richard, who is it?
Who's who?
My future sister-in-law. What's her name?
Mary Wilkinson. Stop grinning.
Darling, Mary's a sweet girl, but are you sure you're really in love with her?
Of course, Ma. And she loves me. She says I'm the handsomest boy she's ever known.
Who broke her glasses?
That out. And Mary doesn't wear glasses, and you know it.
Richard, you're not 16 yet. You're still in the third form. You will not marry Mary Wilkinson or anyone else until you're 21, and that's final.
But that's 5 years from now. The best years of my life will be gone.
Don't worry, dear. Your sister can always push you up to the altar in a bath chair.
Well, you're all laughing at me, and I don't think it's very funny.
You've forgotten what it's like to be in love. You're married. I mean, you've forgotten what it's like at my age.
Son, things like love never change. And sensible young people of this or any other generation don't rush into marriage at 15.
Ma.
Your father's right, dear. You're only a baby.
You're 32, aren't you?
Yes.
And Barbara's 17.
Yes.
Well, then, gee, Ma, you got married when you were 14.
See what you've done now, BB. Tell him your real age.
No, there must be an easier way out.
Richard, how are you going to support a wife?
Well, Pop gives me a pretty good allowance.
Married men don't take allowances from their father. They're too proud.
I'm not.
Son, believe me, if you were to get married now, you'd run into debt, worry more and more, and finally end up an old man before your time.
But, Pop, you were married young and you the... Okay, I'll wait.
That's my boy.
Poor Richard. And was there a happy ending to that little romance?
Yes. They decided not to get married. And the girl lived happily ever after.
Well, broken hearts soon mend at that tender age. I remember when I was a young boy. I fell in love with dozens of pretty girls.
You know, Master Richard, when you and Miss Barbara were in your teens, you were falling in and out of love all the time. And this house was always too full of youngsters. It was hard to tell whether we were living near Paddington Station or in it.
Well, it's nice to have a house full of young people. They keep everybody young.
How about the crowd we had during Coronation Week?
Yes, I can still remember the vein standing out on Pop's forehead when he came down to breakfast the morning after the great day.
Good morning, Mother.
Morning, darling. Did you have a nice sleep?
Oh, I was too excited to sleep. I kept thinking about the coronation. Wasn't it simply magnificent?
Oh, yes, it was like a dream.
Especially the golden coach. Didn't the queen look beautiful?
Oh, simply fabulous. And have you ever seen such crowds? I'll bet half the world was there.
Yeah, and the other half is in our house.
Now, Ben, they're only staying for coronation week.
Well, I think it's nice having so many guests.
Oh, sure, it's fine for you, but just remember who has to pay the bills.
I know, dear, but I think I can afford it.
And we're managing very well.
Well, if you ask me, it's too crowded. Last night I woke up and found a man under my bed.
Who was it?
Me. I fell out.
Well, you're lucky to have a bed. I'm sleeping on a camp cot.
Oh, darling, you should be happy. I never realized how many friends we had until the coronation came along.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Romney. If you want the paper, I have it upstairs.
Oh, and will you tell your cook I like my eggs done 3 minutes?
I will.
I'm not surprised she didn't ask me to carry the radio up to her room.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lyon. I love the radio.
I'm getting fed up. You invited 12 people here for Coronation Week without even consulting me. Why didn't you ask me, Bibi?
I will, dear. Ben, will you come and stay with us for Coronation Week?
Thanks.
Mrs. Lyon, the plumber's in the kitchen adjusting the water heater.
Oh, good. When he gets through, will you ask him to adjust the bathroom geyser, too? The guests are complaining they aren't getting enough hot water.
Well, I've got a complaint about the guests. Every time I tried to get in the bathroom this morning, one of them beat me to it.
You're right. My mother's complaining about the same thing.
Your mother? Frank, do you mean to say your mother's here?
Yes, she's having her breakfast. You know, Benny, she's a scream. She's been telling me the funniest stories about a Scotsman.
Richard, leave the room.
Go on, Mr. Oliver.
This will kill you, Aggie. You see, this Scotsman was walking down the street and he met a woman with a big haggis. And he said, she said to him, and the Scotsman said, and that's why he wears a kilt.
Now you see what's killing variety. Aggie, would you mind getting me a cup of tea?
Oh, I'm sorry. The guests drank it all. I'll get you a cup of cocoa.
I'll have one too, Aggie. If my mother has any more funny stories, I'm not telling them to you, Benny.
Thank you. Say, it looks as if the coast is clear upstairs. Richard, when Aggie comes back, will you hold my cocoa while I take a bath?
Daddy, you can't take a bath now. It isn't your turn. We made out a list, and you're number 8.
I don't care what number I am. I'm having the next one. And that's the door. I'm going to run up and get in the tub before anyone else gets a chance. The water's not hot enough.
Cheer up, Papa. What's there to cheer up about? I can't even have a cup of cocoa in my own house. And all because of those darn guests wandering all over the place.
Well, I think it's very interesting. I haven't even met some of them yet.
Excuse me, Mum. Where can I find the bathroom?
Oh, it's just the top of the stairs. But I don't think you can get in yet.
All right, Mum. I'll wait here.
Did you sleep well?
Yes, thank you.
Is your room comfortable?
Very comfortable, thank you.
Good. And now you want to take a bath?
No, I'd like to adjust geezer. I'm the plumber.
I see.
B.B., I tell you, I'm not going to put up with all this nonsense any longer.
Oh, now, darling, relax. When our guests leave at the end of the week, the house will be back to normal.
Full or empty, this will never be a normal house.
Well, give it a chance, Pop. You've only lived here 16 years.
Victor, do you realize this is the 19th Christmas we've spent in this house?
I do. Say, Aggie, what's this stuff in the big bowl?
That's the mixture for the Christmas pudding. Oh, that reminds me, I forgot to put the brandy in. Hand me that bottle, will you, Master Richard?
Here you are.
Thanks. There, that should do it. Oh, Aggie, you must go in and see the Christmas tree. It looks beautiful.
Yes, and my husband's dying to have you see it.
Very well, but you're coming with me, Master Richard. I'm not trusting you with that food.
Honestly, I've never known such a suspicious woman.
Oh, dear, I forgot to remind Aggie to put the brandy in the pudding.
Oh, well, the bottle's right here. Oh, you better pour it in yourself, Mother.
No, dear, I'd rather pour it in the pudding. Let's see now. I guess about a cupful should do. There. That should give it a nice flavor. Yes.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Hill.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
I just dropped in to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
Baby, Vic's in the living room. He brought over the Christmas presents for the family.
Oh, good. I'll go and give him ours.
Oh, I better help you, Mother. Remember last year you gave him a woolly bed jacket by mistake.
Yes, and I'll bet he looks sweet in it.
Say, Wimple, it looks like they've just finished mixing the Christmas pudding.
Yes. I say, let's finish it off for them.
Oh, we can't. It's raw.
I know that, you silly old duffer. I mean, let's put it into boil. Then when Aggie comes back, it'll be all ready.
All right, I'm game.
Here, Poppetick, what about putting a little brandy in it to give it a kick?
Good idea. Oh, here's a bottle on the table. Now, how much do you think I should put in?
Well, my missus usually puts in a wine glass full.
Well, there aren't any wine glasses near, so I'll just have to pour from the bottle and make a rough guess.
Yeah.
There, that's near enough. You know, there's enough mixture here for two puddings. I'll put it into two bowls, then put them in the water to boil.
Okie doke. Now then, how about a little game of cards while we're waiting for them to cook?
Fine. You know, I think these puddings are going to be a big success.
You owe me 8 bob. Want another game?
No, thanks, Wimple. I think these puddings must be cool by now.
Oh, what's this? What a strong smell of brandy. I wish I could have a sample.
Well, go ahead. We won't need both of these puddings for dinner. Hey, I wouldn't mind having a sample myself.
Oh, what a lovely smell.
Well, stop smelling and cut yourself a piece.
That's a good idea. I'm starving. I've never seen to eat all day.
All I had was some tea and toast.
Oh, Mr. L. It was...
How is it? How is it? Is that all you've got to say? What does it taste like?
Brandy.
Here, let me have a slice.
Yes, and I'll have another.
Mm. Hey, gee, you're right. That flavor is very strong.
Yes, it's smashing. You know something, Mr. L? I'm feeling a little dizzy.
Don't be silly, Whipple. Here, let me have another slice.
Me too.
Mm. You know, I'm beginning to feel a little dizzy myself. Whipple, what are you holding your tongue for?
That pudding made it go numb. I think I'll take a butcher's at it in the middle.
shouldn't have breathed on it.
I didn't breathe on it. It slipped. And it's nothing to laugh at.
Have another slice of brandy. I mean, Christmas wimple pudding.
All right. Just a quick one. How about you?
All right. Cheers. Well, wonderful. Have another wimple. This one's on me.
No, really, I shouldn't.
Oh, go on. Just one more slice for the road.
No, thank you. I'm driving.
Oh, come on, pal. I will if you will.
Well, if you insist.
Good. Here's to Christmas.
That must have been some Christmas.
Yes, Vic, it certainly was.
Yes. Now we let Aggie make the plum pudding.
You know, Pop, after eating all that brandy, it's a wonder you didn't start seeing pink elephants.
Yoo-hoo! A bin!
He's about to see one now.
Mr. Wimple and I have just come over to say goodbye.
Hello, Florrie.
Hello, Wimple.
What time are you leaving for the new house, Mr. Earl?
Just as soon as the removal men get all the packing cases loaded.
They're putting the last ones in now, Mr. Lyon.
Well, then, I guess this is it.
Yeah. Well, come on, Mother. We better get out to the car.
All right, dear.
We'll all come out and see you off.
Oh, thank you, Vic. And don't forget, you know, we want you to come and see us when we're settled in our new house.
That's a date, BB.
And don't forget, darling, I'll be moving in next door to you in a couple of weeks.
Well, go on, Ben. Aren't you going to say, what a pity?
No, Florrie. For once, I'm going to be truthful and say I'm darn glad you are.
Oh, bless your little curly legs.
Mr. Wimple, you'll come over and see us too, won't you?
Oh, not half. I'll be popping in all the time.
Oh, that's the spirit, Wimpy, old pal.
Ben, we're leaving a lot of lovely memories behind, aren't we?
Oh, you're wrong, sweetheart. We're taking them all with us.
Oh, dear, we forgot to close the front door.
Oh, that's all right, honey. I'll do it. Goodbye, little house. And thanks for 22 wonderful years.
Ben Lyon with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Horace Percival, and guest star Vic Oliver. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Bob Block, Ronnie Hanbury, and BB Daniels wrote the script, and the production was by Tom Ronalds.